Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Three-step drop. Oh, he is buried. He is sacked. It is Mario Williams back at midfield.
You got to give me that leg, whip. You got to give me that leg, whip.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Throws it downfield, intercepted, picked off by Jairus Byrd. The ball hawk with the interception for the Bills.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
the John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across western New York. Tonight on the show, we continue our live broadcast from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. And we're going to be talking with Bills General Manager Doug Whaley on the show tonight. Also, Bills Offensive Coordinator Nathaniel Hackett joins us. And an overview of the 2014 Senior Bowl from Charles Davis of the NFL Network.
This place is pandemonium.
CJ at the 10, 5, touchdown! CJ Spiller, touchdown Buffalo!
This is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Good evening. Welcome back to Mobile, Alabama, the site of the Senior Bowl. John Murphy here with the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from here and now until 9 p.m. tonight. You heard the lineup. Going to talk a lot about the Bills tonight, obviously. Going to talk about some of the prospects we've watched here at the Senior Bowl. And as you might expect, we're going to talk about Mike Pettine and where that stands. We don't have any real updates on that. Want to hear from you, though, also tonight. We've got Nathaniel Hackett joining us at 8 o'clock tonight. Had a long conversation with Coach Hackett today and talked about the future of the Bills offense, talked about E.J. Manuel's future. We want to hear from you. What would be the one way for the Buffalo Bills to improve on offense? Nathaniel Hackett, I'll let the cat out of the bag. He told us earlier today it was we want to pass the ball better. Pretty obvious, even when you look at the numbers. Number two, running attack, but they got to pass the ball better. There's a lot that goes into that. You may have some ideas on that, and the phone lines are open if you do. What would be the best improvement you could make to the Buffalo Bills offense this year? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number to call if you're in the Buffalo local calling area. Outside Buffalo, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach us and follow us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Areas of improvement for the Bills offense. I got to tell you, from talking to Coach Hackett today and from Coach Marone and Doug Whaley, the GM, the other day, they are dead set on improving this offense. They know where they fell short this past year. They know how they have to get better on offense. It is full speed ahead, I can tell you, for this Buffalo Bills team, despite the Mike Pettine rumors. Would that be a setback? Yeah, we've talked about that a lot on the show. Of course it would, but they're not letting it deter them. Let's talk for a second about, first about the show. As you heard, the lineup, confirmed guests with Doug Whaley coming up at 7:30, Nathaniel Hackett at 8, Charles Davis from the NFL Network with a big overview, a good short, concise overview of some of the prospects and some of the issues here at the Senior Bowl. And we've got some people to hear from, too, some of the interviews we conducted today here at the Senior Bowl and some observations on what we saw at practice. Went to both of them today, the North squad in the morning and the South team in the afternoon. We have a flyer out for a guy we'd like to talk to. Maybe he'll stop by if we don't get him today. Hope to get him tomorrow. Chris Borland, one of the better players here at the Senior Bowl, a linebacker from Wisconsin. He's had a good week. He had an outstanding college career. Here's what I like about this guy. When I asked him, he was in a hurry the other day. I asked him, what would you bring to an NFL team? Short, concise response. Intelligence and leadership. And the interview is over. I thought, that does it. That's pretty good. Chris Borland. Now, we're efforting a chance to get Chris Borland over here to our broadcast location tonight. So I hope we're able to do that tonight. If not, we'll try to do it on the podcast tomorrow. Now, to the Mike Pettine issue. No news tonight. We are on permanent standby here in Mobile, Alabama. You heard Mike Jafari talk about how everybody's waiting in Buffalo and Cleveland to find out the fate of Mike Pettine. To be honest, that's the story here in Mobile, Alabama, too, other than the prospects on the field. You know, that's the deal. What is Mike Pettine going to decide? What are the Browns going to decide? More importantly, ESPN's Adam Schefter, appearing earlier today on ESPN Radio, said he thinks Pettine is a fallback option for the Cleveland Browns. Schefter just comments his take on the situation. He says, expect the unexpected, but he said, reading between the lines as the Browns continue to bounce around the country and interview other candidates, He said if Patton were really their choice, they probably would have done it by now. He thinks the longer it goes on, the less likely it is that Patton is their guy. This is Adam Schefter talking. I don't know that he has inside information on this, but his thoughts. Here's what I know. The Buffalo Bills are very interested in getting this done tonight. In fact, Patton told a Cleveland reporter that he would like to have his answer by tonight. The Bills, and he expects, by the way, to have his answer by tonight. The Bills expect and hope to have their answer on Patton just to move forward. Do they have to? Do the Browns have to comply? No, they don't. But they really put a they put everything at a standstill, it seems to me, when it comes to, the Bills. You know, the Bills have some moves to make if Patton leaves, quite frankly. They have some serious moves to make, defensive coordinator and several others. So the Patton situation has put the Bills at a standstill. I'm sure they backstopped themselves. You heard Doug Whaley last night talk about how they have a plan in place. You probably heard Doug Marrone the other day talk about how they have a plan in place, but they can't move forward with that plan until the Browns decide. They've given the Browns a lot of time here. We are, you know, deep into January and nothing yet from the Cleveland Browns. Do they have another candidate they want to interview? Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Who cares about the Browns? From the Bills' perspective, I think they're thinking, let's get this done, please. Let us know by tonight. Tonight, Thursday night. So we'll see how that plays out. Again, nothing new on that. We know as of yesterday that Patton interviewed here in Mobile with the Cleveland Browns, his second interview with the Cleveland Browns. No job offered as far as we know. And we'll see. I do believe Patton, I think he was in town earlier today. Whether he remains there is here in Mobile is unknown. He did get the invitation, he told us on Monday, from Kyle Williams to meet him out in Honolulu at the Pro Bowl in Honolulu as Kyle Williams' guest. Whether or not Mike Patton jumped on a plane today to get to Honolulu, I don't know. That's where it stands with Mike Patton waiting. And we are definitely waiting, as is all of Cleveland and all of Mobile, Alabama, and certainly all of Buffalo. That's where we are with the Mike Patton situation. A couple of other NFL notes before we turn our attention here to the Senior Bowl. Former Bills quarterback Vince Young has filed for bankruptcy protection in a Houston courtroom. Estimated assets between $500,000 and $1 million. Liabilities over or between $1 million and $10 million. Vince Young, 30 years old, that's all. He's up against two lawsuits stemming from a loan that he got in his name during the lockout. Tough sledding for Vince Young. Bills not the only team with coaching shakeups on their roster. Longtime Patriots offensive line coach Dante Scarnecchia is retiring after 30 years with the franchise. Bill Belichick called him an NFL legend and a Patriot for life. Former Jets offensive line coach Dave DiGiulimo will take over for Scarnecchia, who was the longest tenured coach in the NFL. Scott Pioli back in the league. He was hired as an assistant to the Atlanta Falcons. He'll be assistant GM under Thomas Dimitroff. Both Dimitroff and Pioli were here in Mobile today answering questions about that. Pioli was vice president of player personnel with the Patriots for years and worked alongside Dimitroff there for several years. Now, here at the Senior Bowl, another day of practice for both the North and the South, another day for Bills coaches to have a look at some of the prospects, and a day for us to talk a little bit with Nathaniel Hackett, the Bills offensive coordinator, who is all on board now with the hiring of a quarterbacks coach and a wide receivers coach for the team. Nathaniel Hackett's going to join us on the show at 8 o'clock, but we did two separate interviews, and in this one, he talks about what it means for his staff to hire a quarterback coach and a wide receivers coach.
I have, yes. We got two positions that we're trying to fill to make our staff better and make the offense better, so going around trying to find some of the best guys.
Are you doing interviews down here with some of these coaching candidates?
We have. We've gotten to get to know a couple guys and trying to see who fits best.
What are you looking for in general terms for both the receivers coach and the new quarterbacks coach?
I think it's first and foremost a guy that's a great communicator, somebody that's able to communicate both with me, then to the players, and really a teacher. I mean, that's what we are as coaches. We're people that we just teach football, and I think that's what you're always looking for in a guy is how he teaches, how he presents, how he can excite you about those things that you're going to do out on that field, no matter how basic they might be. So you want to feel that energy from them. You want to see how they teach and how their progression is when they do teach and see how it's going to be able to fit for you.
From your perspective, why is it important to add a quarterbacks coach to the staff this year?
Like I've said, about nine different reasons. I think when I first got here, we only had one quarterback, and then we had three quarterbacks, and then couple left, and then some more came in. And I think for anybody to be able to have nine guys within the establishment in under a year, I think it's a lot to deal with. And I think that we need a guy that can work with those guys and be able to stay with them all throughout the day and just continue to drill them and work with them. And also bring a new set of eyes to the whole look on how we can improve, what guys are doing good, new ideas. I think all those things that can stimulate you as a coordinator, I think that's what I'm looking for. I want to see a guy that can bring some new things to us and how we can make what we're doing even better, and also be there for EJ and Thad and Jeff and Dennis and be there to continue to push them and make them better.
Nathaniel Hackett, the Bills offensive coordinator, a complete interview with Nate Hackett coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. One thing, Nathaniel Hackett's been here. Mike Pettine has been here. Head coach Doug Marone has been here. Special teams coordinator Danny Crossman has been here all week long, taking a look at some of the prospects at the Senior Bowl. And we asked Coach Nathaniel Hackett, Bills offensive coordinator, about his role, his job, and what he looks for here as he attends the Senior Bowl practices.
You want to look at everybody from their natural athleticism, how they adjust to things, how they're able to pick systems up. But I think you always have to kind of take it into perspective. I mean, you bring all these guys from all over the country into this one spot, teach them a new system in a couple days, yeah, and then have them go out there and play with people that they've never even met before. So you got to kind of take it all with a grain of salt, but at the same time, you want to see that athleticism. You want to see how they compete against each other and go from there, because there's still a long process to kind of go on here. And it's also good to be able to talk with the scouts, haven't seen them in a long time, and find out all the things that they have to say, because they're the ones that know these guys the best. And I think as a coach, you really have to lean on that and just communicate with them and find out about them.
Nathaniel Hackett, the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator. We have more from Nate Hackett coming up at 8 o'clock tonight on the show as we continue to broadcast live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Here until 9 o'clock tonight with the show live. We're going to talk to some Bills folks, obviously, during the night tonight, but we also want to talk to some of the prospects who are here, including a guest who's about ready to sit down with us. He is a linebacker from Wisconsin who's had a very strong week already here at the Senior Bowl with a number of big plays, including an interception today. He is here this week trying to show his wares before the NFL scouts and coaches, and we're happy to have him sitting down with us right now. Linebacker Chris Borland from Wisconsin. Chris, thanks very much for coming by. We appreciate it.
No, thank you, John. Thank you for having
How's
me.
This week gone for you so far?
I think so far it's been a good week. Have showed some things that I can do, and have showed a well-rounded game, and I think still have areas to improve in, but so far I've been proud of the week I've put forth.
You showed your pass coverage skills today with that big interception in the workout. Talk about that play and how that play played out for you.
Well, it was a mesh concept, some low crossing routes against cover two, and I leveraged the guy coming to my side on the mesh concept, and the quarterback, he settled like a good receiver does in zone coverage, and quarterback thought he was open, but I broke underneath and picked it off.
What's a mesh concept?
We're running all 2x2 this week in the Senior Bowl. So the two inside receivers, the nearest to the line of scrimmage, will just run across the field, usually under 5 yards. And usually it's a man beater. If you're in man-to-man, it's kind of a pick play. But against cover two, it's not a great concept, and it worked to my advantage today.
Are the offenses, I don't want to say dumbed down, but it's got to be pretty basic what they are running offensively, both teams, north and south, this week, right?
It is fairly basic. It's important to keep in mind the defenses are basic, too. We're only running three coverages. We only have one personnel grouping as a defense, so it's more of how individuals play against one another than it is a scheme against a scheme.
Talking with Chris Borland, linebacker from Wisconsin, one of the top prospects here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. You grew up just outside Dayton, Ohio.
I did, just south of it in Kettering.
How did the Buckeyes let you get away?
I get that question a lot. My my dad's from Madison. My grandfather went to Wisconsin, and we always rooted for the Badgers. I grew up wanting to play there if I could, and it all worked out.
It did work out pretty well. And it seemed like you were almost a turnover machine in your career at Wisconsin. 15 forced fumbles in your career, a Big Ten record in forced fumbles, right?
It is, yeah, and I, unfortunately, the guy from your city, Khalil Mack, beat
that's
me
right
out for the NCAA title, so it's all good fun, though. I think that's an important aspect of the game. A lot of defensive coordinators, especially in the NFL, stress creating takeaways, and I was able to accomplish that in college level and hope to in the NFL.
Three straight seasons for the Badgers with 100 tackles or more. That's a pretty consistent high level of production, isn't it?
Yeah, I had some success, was able to remain healthy for most of my career. That was my role within our defense, and couldn't have had 100 plus tackles three straight years if we didn't have guys setting the edge, taking on double teams, safeties filling, and just kind of my role to play and tried my best to fulfill it.
This kind of blew me away when I came across this fact, Chris. You're the first All-American linebacker from Wisconsin in 62 years.
We're overdue. We're overdue.
No kidding.
We've had a bunch of great players come through recently. Jonathan Casillas, DeAndre Levy, Mark Zalewski, Donnell Thompson. There's been so many guys deserving of something like that, and I'm proud to represent Wisconsin linebackers.
I watched your game, the bowl game, the Capital One Bowl against South Carolina, and really thought you were outstanding. You had nine tackles, but again, another forced fumble in that game. Did you feel pretty good about your bowl game performance?
For me, that was a pedestrian game, I think.
Really?
Didn't create enough havoc. I didn't make a ton of plays. It was just good. Would have liked to have had it better. Left some plays out there. Had at least one missed tackle, so... I wasn't, largely discouraged, but it was okay for me.
Chris Borland, our guest linebacker from Wisconsin. He's here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. You won't remember this, but yesterday after practice, I stuck a mic in your face with our cameraman and said, what would an NFL team get if they get you? And your answer was perfect and concise. You said intelligence and leadership. And that was it. I thought, wow, that's a good answer.
Yeah, I think, there's a ton of guys with physical talent. No one could be here if they didn't have it, and I believe I have it. But in addition to that, I'm a smart player and have the intangibles off the field to lead, to get a team to kind of change the culture in a program. So that's something I bring to the table that I don't think a lot of guys bring.
How do you change a culture? How do you change a program? We've been wrestling with that with the Buffalo Bills for 14 years now.
Well, we kind of went through it my true freshman year at Wisconsin. We were coming off a 7-6 year and lost a lot of good players. And that 7-6 team was supposed to go to the Rose Bowl. So I saw it firsthand when I was young. And I think the number one thing you got to do is you can't cut corners. You got to do everything the right way, do everything the hard way, and just will yourself to not accept failure.
Where do the football smarts come from, Chris? Is that in your family background? Or?
No, I didn't start playing football until high school and really didn't play much defense until college. So just a lot of great coaching and a lot of hard work. My dad knows a lot about the game. He played a little bit at Miami of Ohio, but he was kind of reluctant. He let me pursue it myself, and I appreciated that because it gave me a lot of interest and a lot of room to grow.
Chris, in this season now for the next few months, and at least here at the Senior Bowl, you get a chance to play football. When you get to the Combine a month from now, it's all about measurements, weights, times, testing, physical testing. Do you prefer this to show what you can do as an NFL prospect, or how do you think you'll measure up at the Combine?
As far as showing what I can do, I think I'll have a great Combine. But, yeah, I absolutely prefer playing football. There's a reason I'm a football player, not a tracky athlete or, things like that. This is what it's all about. We're playing the game, and that's what I love to do. But I'm also excited for the Combine. I think I'll impress some people there.
It's been brought up. You were a shade under 6 foot, right?
Yeah.
Not ideal size for the position. You're going to get that question when you meet with teams. You may have already got that question this week. Do you overcompensate for that? Do you compensate for that in somehow?
Yeah, there's ways to combat it. I think, like I said earlier, or you said, being intelligent and being a leader. But more specifically, the things that you're concerned about when a guy's small is block protection, and I think that's one of the strong suits in my game. I'm a physical at taking on blockers, understand how to manipulate them to work to your advantage and take angles. And if you're good at that, it really doesn't matter if you're 5'11 or half an inch, 2 inches, 3 inches taller.
Shedding blocks.
Yeah.
How did you learn to do that? Who taught you how to do that?
Again, I think I'd never formed any bad habits because I didn't play linebacker in high school. And I had some great college coaches who really stressed it. I think they probably saw a raw 18-year-old, first-time linebacker, and it was a chance for them to just instill all the fundamentals. And I worked hard at it, and I think improved at it consistently over my career. Still have some room to grow and just a lot of hard work.
Chris, who are some of the players you've gone up against in practice this week that have impressed you the most? Or maybe even guys you played with on defense?
Yeah. I think the defensive line's been great. It's been great to play behind guys like that. Trent Murphy is a very smart, physical player from Stanford. I'm lined up at Will linebacker a lot of the times, right behind him, and he's been impressive. As far as from the offensive side of the ball, Zach Martin, a very good offensive lineman. I think James White from Wisconsin, my teammate, he's showing well this week.
What have you gotten the most out of this week here at the Senior Bowl so far?
Well, the interview process with NFL personnel has been great, but what I've really enjoyed is working with Coach Perez from the Atlanta Falcons, the linebacker coach. He's really intelligent, conveys the game well. He's a good teacher, and it's just been great to work with a professional linebacker coach. And you know, just in a few days, I think I've learned things that'll help me later on in my career.
It is such an accelerated process, isn't it, here to arrive here, what, over the weekend and play a game the following Saturday, learn obviously a basic system, but really it's a lot to learn and a lot to do in just a very short few days, isn't it?
You know, I think they want to see how you handle the hectic schedule, and it really is. You're up from at least 7 to at least 11:30 every day, and it's jam-packed. So it's fine. It's what it is. They want to see it, and I think it suits me well, and it's kind of a strong suit for me. I'm loving the interview process. Practice is going great. Headed to an FCA function for a Christian organization here in a little bit. So just keeping busy and having fun.
Last question. Our producer here, Jeff Matthews, we've been watching you all week at practice. He said to me about an hour ago, I finally figured out who Chris Moreland reminds me of. Do you know the name Zach Thomas, the former Dolphin?
I've heard the name Zach Thomas.
A lot, probably. Huh?
A ton. But that's high praise, and that's really flattering. I was a little young, but I understood how great of a player he was. And he's even shorter than I am, so it's it can be done. And hopefully I'll have a career half as good as Zach Thomas's.
I hope you do, too. Chris, thanks for coming by. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Chris Moreland, linebacker from Wisconsin, an Ohio native, Kettering, Ohio, who made his way up to have a tremendous career with the Badgers of Wisconsin, and a guy who's really been a standout here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. When we return, we are going to hear from the Bills' general manager, Doug Whaley. He has been here all week. He will remain here for the next few days as the scouting staffs maneuver themselves into the Blesto meetings later this week. Doug Whaley, a one-on-one sit-down interview with the general manager of the Bills up next. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, and we are joined by Bills general manager Doug Whaley. You are in your element with all of these prospects around you.
Absolutely, Murph. This is our season, kicked off around this time every year.
Hey, Doug, it's been an interesting week already for the Buffalo Bills with the coaching staff, I'm sure occupying some of your attention this week. First of all, with Mike Patton. Coach Marone told us the other day that you guys have a plan in place if Coach Patton gets the Cleveland job. Is that right?
We have to. We don't want to be caught with our hand off guard. We do have a plan in place, and we'll have to see, hopefully soon, if we're going to have to execute it or not.
Are you frustrated that it has taken this long, that you're this, you know, you're in the third week of January and there's that kind of uncertainty on your staff?
It's a concern for us because even though you do have a plan, the longer it goes, it may throw a wrench in that plan. And also, I'm sure it's a little frustrating for Coach Patton. You really like to hear an answer one way or another as soon as possible so he could even get his staff together.
It's the sign of a team, maybe a team that's improving, though, that your coaches would be poached by other NFL teams. That's a good thing, even though it might hurt.
It's a good thing and a bad thing. Obviously, you want to, everybody has aspirations, and as well, better we do, more people are going to get poached, but you also want to have some continuity, especially on that side of the ball, and then make some strides to help us get a couple more wins.
And Coach Marone mentioned to us the other day that the team is interested in hiring a quarterback's coach. Talk about that decision and maybe the profile of what kind of guy you would be looking for at that position.
Well, we looked at it this way. This is a quarterback-driven league. So why not give every resource to EJ to be successful? And as EJ goes, we go. I think talking to Coach, he would like a guy that had some experience at the position or has been a veteran quarterback coach for a while, not only the technical aspects of the position, but the overall just being a professional quarterback, because we don't have that veteran influence in that room right now.
And Coach Marone went to great pains when we talked to him earlier this week to say it's really not a reflection at all on Nathaniel Hackett, who worked with the quarterbacks and was the offensive coordinator, but it's mostly because, you know, you didn't have that veteran presence in that quarterback room.
I agree, and that was a hefty workload to put on a first-year coordinator, not to get three different quarterbacks ready, actually four if you count Kevin Cobb, and go through the game plan and be able to call plays. We just thought it would be better for everybody involved, from EJ to Nathaniel to our team, just to put another voice in that room.
Talking with Doug Whaley, the Bills general manager at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, and we are just about 7 weeks away from free agency. You've got your personnel people here, including Jim Manos. For him, this is a year-long thing, isn't it, taking a look at free agency?
Absolutely. I mean, not only with the college guys, but with the pro guys. Our pro department, Tommy Givens, Rob Hanrahan, those guys are constantly on the go and always looking at guys, because every day there's free agents out there. So it's something that you can never get a handle on. But we do those guys do a great job of trying to keep us informed of who's out there, who's available, and where should we go with our needs.
Can you take us into the structure of, like, the draft? Do you have a free agent board that, you know, at different positions? Is that pretty like a mirror image of what you do for the draft?
Absolutely. We have, we just set it up before we came down here. We set up the free agents, the unrestricted free agents by position. And then what we'll do is we have certain positions that we think will be interesting to us, and we'll pull out certain guys that we think we target that we'll have a chance to either look at or go talk to or try to get. And then when we get back, we'll give them to the coaches, and then we'll have a draft board, a free agent board set up just like the draft board. We'll do it by position and regardless of position, and we'll also splice in our free agents in there.
A year ago, in your role as personnel director, you guys, I would think, were pretty happy with what you got out of free agency. Not big splash guys, but when you look at Alan Branch, Manny Lawson, even some of the guys you picked up later on in season, you had to be pretty happy with the way that worked out.
Extremely happy, and I think we're going to stay that course. We're going to go for value picks, guys that we can that can come in and can contribute, and we get a real good return on our investment.
And if you're going to get a value pick, Doug, do you sometimes have to wait them out a little bit, wait for the market to clear, wait for them to get a sense of what their market value might be?
And we call them dust settle guys. Yeah. After all the dust settles, then we'll go after. But we can target guys now, and then we'll say dust settles, but we can still go with them on the first day and say, hey, this is what we're looking at you for, your role, and what we're trying to offer, but they're not going to be the big-name splash guys.
And do guys respond well to that? The free agents respond? Everybody wants to maximize their value, obviously, but how do they respond when you go in early in free agency and say, here's what we think your value is?
If you got a guy that's realistic and he has a good agent, then they're ready to at least know what their value will be out in the market, because you have that three-day period where they can talk to agents, so they'll have a good sense of where people are pegging them value-wise.
Doug, you've got your own unrestricted free agents who would hit the market on March 11th. At the end of the year, the day or two after the season ended, you talked about Jarris Bird. Has there been any talks, any progress at all with Jarris since then?
Well, we just finished mapping out our plan for the offseason right before we came down here. Jim Orbendorf's getting some paperwork together, and we're going to send out some offers to our free agents and go from there.
On Jarris for a second, going to the Pro Bowl this week, taking, I think, a big chunk of his defensive backfield teammates with him, and maybe even Coach Donnie Henderson. Pretty good indication that he likes what went on there in the defensive backfield this past year, isn't it?
It would seem so. Everything we've heard, that he really enjoys Coach Henderson. He loves his teammates. I think he likes the defensive scheme that Coach Pettine employs. So all those are positives, and hopefully we can use that in our negotiation.
One more thing on Jarris. It went long last year, but I never got the sense that it was acrimonious or there was real bad blood between your side and his agent and him. It was a financial dispute. It didn't seem like it got negative in a personal way at all.
He's a professional, and we both try to make sure that we both sides know it's nothing personal. It's just business.
Without getting into specifics, you do have some other notable free agents: Chandler, Carrington, Carpenter, Jimmy Leonard. Are you saying that you've set already your priority of who you want to bring back?
We set our priority of the guys we want to get back, the value we want to have them back at, and then we'll go down the list and see. We will not be able to get everybody. In this system now with the salary cap, you can't sign everybody, but you want to start at the top and have a priority list and go down from there.
And, Doug, are you comfortable with the cap room that you have? Are you going to be able to get done what you need to get done with the cap room?
We feel we will not be prohibited with lack of cap space to get done well. Now, again, we won't be able to do everything. But going down our priority checklist, we hope we can get most of the things done that we need to get done.
Catching up with Bills General Manager Doug Whaley. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Here at the Senior Bowl, Doug, and this is only my second. You've been here many times. But compared to last year, my maybe initial sense is this Senior Bowl lacks star power in some sense. Is that right?
Well, a lot of star power are in the league now. Yeah. You got a lot of, and it seems like it's going to be a continuing trend that a lot of the guys that will be seniors are coming out earlier and earlier. So you're not going to have that depth that you're used to having because the seniors aren't staying in.
Just about 100 underclassmen declared for the draft this year, record numbers. What do you think of that trend? I think it's all about money, obviously, but what does that do, not just to this game, but to the process, to the draft, and maybe to the overall play in the league?
It's tougher on us as scouts because you cannot look at those guys or talk about those guys until they officially declare, which the list came out on Monday or Sunday. So we got to start our process then, so it condenses all that information and into a short time period. So it makes us work a lot harder, and it's tough because those are usually the best players. So you want to be as thorough as possible, but you don't have the whole fall, so it's a time pressing matter. I don't know why this trend is going this way. I'm not sure. A lot of people say because of the new CBA and you're not going to lose that much money coming out early if you're a third pick compared to a fourth round pick, but you start your clock earlier and you can get to that second contract. That's what you're hearing about a lot of guys, and also the work rules in the NFL. Because of the lack of practice and hitting, they're thinking, all right, well, I can save my body a little more than the practice rules in college. So I think there's a lot of combination of things, but you probably have to talk to agents and the underclassmen to see why each one is doing it.
You talk about what it does to your scouts. What does it do to your area scouts out on the road during the season, making their visits, watching practices? Do they have to kind of widen their scope knowing that some of these underclassmen are going to, could be on the table when it comes to the following spring?
Well, what we like to do is we condense their areas so they can have a better feel for everybody at that school. You could watch a guy as a freshman and not scout him, but be aware of him. And so if he does, after his third year or a junior year or redshirt sophomore year, if he does decide to come out, at least you have a basis to start on. And that helps you out a lot.
And with all these underclassmen, Doug, do you think it impacts the caliber of play? Are you getting a finished product when you get some of these freshman or first year players in the league?
That's a good question.
Maybe it's too soon to say.
Yeah, it's too soon right now. You just never know. There's some guys, obviously, the really good guys, it won't. But I think the back end guys, what we're thinking, though, if you got 100 and some guys coming out early, that's three rounds. So that's three rounds of players that are either not going to get drafted, which we think will help us in free agency, like college free agent guys, and get better guys like that. So,
I'm sorry to interrupt. I wonder if it puts a premium on coaching because you're getting a younger player who might not have the kind of experience that other guys would have.
Oh, yes, it does. It puts a premium on developing players, and that's one of the things that Coach Marone preaches to his staff. When we get them, we got to develop them. They're ours.
Along with the underclassmen, there's also 30 or more players who just elected not to attend the Senior Bowl this year for various reasons. Does that do them a disservice, or does it make it a little tougher for you when you don't get this week to evaluate?
It makes it tougher because you always want to see him going against some of the better competition all in one place. Obviously, some people say it's a business decision. Other people say injuries or whatever. But one thing that you really like to see is a guy that's not afraid to compete. And that you can't hold it against a guy, but you really like guys that say, you know what, I'm coming to the Senior Bowl and I'm showing everybody that I can pee at the highest stage.
I wonder if that question comes up when you sit down with those guys, say, at the Combine. Do you ask that question? Why didn't you go to the Senior Bowl?
Yes, and then again, some of them will be, well, my agent told me this, or injuries, or they always have an answer for it. But none of them really say, well, I don't feel like I didn't want to compete.
Right. So what does that leave us with here at the Senior Bowl, Doug? How many first-rounders do we have here at the Senior Bowl this year?
That's hard to tell. There'll be a sprinkling of some first-rounders, second-rounders, and third-rounders, but you'll get a glut of these guys, I think, will be in that 2-5 range.
Do you have a sense of what the strongest position groups are here this week in Mobile?
Right now, I'd have to say there's a depth at every position. I haven't seen one position that's stronger than the other. There has been some pass rushers guys that haven't been flashing, some edge rush guys. So right now, I'd say that has jumped out to me the most.
There's a perception among Bills fans and media that the Bills would be interested in finding a bigger wide receiver. Is that accurate?
I think everybody in the NFL would like to have a big wide receiver because in this game, big wins. So, but it's not going to preclude us we're in a position now, Murph, where we can take the best player available. We don't have any glaring, pressing needs. Some people may say we do, but we could go across the board on any position as long as we feel it could upgrade us and make us better.
It's interesting you say that. Somebody else from the organization mentioned the exact same wording the other day. When do you feel you got to that position? Is that something you arrived at the end of this past season?
We just looked at, when you look at the cornerstones of most organizations, you got to have a quarterback, which we think we have, a left tackle, which we think we have, a corner, which we think we have, and a pass rusher, which you think you have. Those are the cornerstones of building any team. So if we got those guys in place, we just add pieces around them.
A couple of more questions. Back to the Senior Bowl group. We talked about big wide receivers. As a group, what do you think of, you know, Jordan Matthews, Cody Hoffman, Aberderis, just that whole group that you have here, big wide receivers?
It's intriguing, and it gives us options, and we like big guys that play big, and those guys all play big, and I mean that by they reach out and catch. We call them hand catchers. So if they're 6'3", 6'4", and they don't catch it in their body, then they're playing at their 6 foot. But if they catch it outside their body with their hands, they're playing at 6'6", 6'7". So those are the big receivers that really intrigue you.
When we watched practice with our little group here in Mobile this week, it struck me, Doug, how the quarterback grouping has changed. Talk about star power. There were stars here in Mobile at quarterback last year. Maybe Derek Carr and that's it as far as, you know, premium level quarterbacks here at the Senior Bowl.
Well, you look at it, most of the premium quarterbacks are underclassmen, and they're not allowed to participate in this game. So, and it's going to, I think it's just, like you said, it's a trend. Most of the higher rated guys are going to be coming out earlier, and they're not allowed to participate.
You know, how does it work here this week in Mobile, your scouts interfacing with Coach Marone and the coordinators? How much meeting time do you guys get together, and what do you do?
We'll meet every night over at the station where they have the interviews. So coaches can go over there and sit down on interviews. And it's good because the scouts know what questions to ask because they've scouted these players. They know some red flags that they want to dive into and get better information on. And then at practice, we all sit around and coach will say, hey, what about this guy? What about that guy? And then we'll have those area scouts that have scouted guys and say, hey, coach, this is what he's all about. This is his strengths, his weaknesses, and all of that stuff.
We know from our conversation with you a year ago here at the Senior Bowl that at the end of this week, towards the end of this week, you get together and look ahead with the Blesto meetings. Tell our listeners what that's all about.
Well, this will be our first chance to talk to the Blesto, which is our scouting service, on any guys that they upgraded from the fall. So if they upgraded a guy, gave him a better draft grade, they'll go over those guys, and then they will also give us a breakdown of all the juniors that came out and put them in a category, either A, B, C, or D. And then that helps us, especially myself and Jim Monas, be able to funnel our attention to the higher rated guys.
Doug, I got to tell you, the few days we've been in town, probably a handful of people that come up to me and say, hey, they see the Bills gear. They say, hey, is Buddy Nix here? Where's Buddy Nix? He's a popular guy. People look for him, and he's here. I mean, I've seen him. You're special assistant now. Tell me how you put him to work here and how he's been able to help.
He's a great resource for me, and I'd be remiss if I didn't use it. Any major decision or any free agent we think about bringing in, I'll say, hey, Buddy, take a look at this guy. What do you think? Well, after this Blesto meetings, we're going to give him a list of some of the top-rated guys and have him look at those guys. We're going to give him some of the particular free agents that we have pegged as interesting, also have him look at it. So he's just a resource. With that wealth of knowledge, again, I would be remiss if we didn't pick his brain and use him to the fullest advantage.
Before we let you go, I want to kind of go back to something you said when you talked about your view of your roster and what you have on this roster. And it sounded like pretty unwavering commitment to E.J. Manuel, which may not be, you know, the opinions held by some Bills fans, but talk about that, how strongly you believe in EJ, what you saw the first year, and what you need to see moving forward.
Well, we need to see him stay healthy. And with any young quarterback, you're going to have some ups and downs and some growing pains. But the one thing, and I said it at the year-end press conference, when we needed him most, he always gave us a chance to win. So that clutch gene, we believe he has it, and that's one thing we can build on. And we'll put some more pieces around him, a whole year of being able to be in a system, because you got to think about it. He came in, he went through his junior year, worked out for senior year, went through a senior year, worked out for quarterback specific drills in the combine and his pro day, and then he came here and he learned a whole new system. So now he's a little more comfortable in his skin, I say, because he knows what to expect out of practices, he knows what to expect out of the playbook, and now he can dive in and just be all football all the time and not other things of what we call the banquet circuit right before the draft process.
What can you do to
keep him healthy, both in the offseason and when play begins again next fall?
I think one thing, the Cleveland incident, he learned from to get down. And those other two knee injuries, I don't want to say it, but they were freak accidents. They were, you very rarely have two LCLs in 1 year. I think we did a study, there was 9 LCLs in a 5-year period, and our guy had 2 of them. So we're not really worried about him being an injury prone, as people say. We just chalk it up as just one of those unfortunate circumstances that happened.
Doug, you've said it. Russ Brandon has said it. Coach Marone has said it. It's a results-oriented business, and you finished with 6 wins last year. You seem confident that moving forward, you're headed in the right direction, and there are better times ahead.
Well, we feel confident if we had CJ for 16 games, and with his continued growth and improvement, and us putting pieces around him to be successful, improvement on the defense, we believe that's what we're out here to do, and that's win games and get to the playoffs.
Thanks very much for doing this. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, Murph.
Doug Whaley, the Bills general manager, our guest, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, on Buffalo Bills Radio. Again, our thanks to Bills general manager Doug Whaley, talking to us earlier on here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from Mobile. And we've been following the progress of the Mike Patton situation for a while, and there is a recent tweet. This is how it happens nowadays. Adam Schefter tweeting moments ago. This is Adam Schefter's tweet. Cleveland's head coach search down to 2 finalists who will meet with the Browns brass Thursday. Per league sources, Bills defensive coordinator Mike Patton is a favorite. That's what Adam Schefter reports via Twitter moments ago. So we'll continue to keep track of that as we move along. Coming up next hour, we're going to be talking with Nathaniel Hackett, the Bills offensive coordinator, his view of E.J. Manuel, his view of what went right, what went wrong with the Buffalo offense this past year. We've got one more hour to go tonight from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone.
Time is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop CJ Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
There you go. Hold on. Let's go check it out.
The John Murphy Show presented NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, and we get a chance to connect with Bills offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. We have not had a chance to talk to you in a while. You seem to be doing well down here.
Doing great. Just trying to find some more guys to come onto the team and help us out.
You're trying to find players, and you've also, I know, spent a lot of time this week interviewing coaching candidates. Talk about that, if you would. You've got a wide receiver spot to fill, right?
We do, yeah. We're trying to just kind of go around and find out who the best wide receiver guys are and see how they'll fit with us and get the best one that fits.
And you've done a number of interviews. Are you closing in on a decision, would you think?
Without a doubt. I mean, it's one of those things we're hoping to get this thing done within the next week or so and just kind of lock it down and get ready for 2014.
You've also, according to Coach Marone on Monday of this week, you're in the market now for a quarterback coach. Tell me about that process and why you feel like your staff will benefit from having one coach dedicated to quarterback.
I've got 9 reasons for that. since I got here, there's been 9 quarterbacks in the building. And I think that even just if you had a quarterback coach, that would be a lot on just one individual man, let alone a quarterback's / coordinator. I think it's one of those things to have another person, another set of eyes, somebody that could point things out, just to help the staff overall, both in the pass game, run game, everything, and be able to help EJ even more. I mean, all that stuff is all positive. And I think any way that we can continue to grow, I can continue to grow and just make us better as an offense, I think that's so important. And I think that's one step that we can take to help us.
Coach, this past year, did you find it difficult to find time to carve out time for EJ or the other quarterbacks and still, you know, formulate game plan, look at video, kind of put together the design of the offense? Was that a lot for anyone to do?
I don't know if that's as hard as having to shift it between the different quarterbacks, because when you have different quarterbacks that play, they're all so unique. They all do things completely different. They're all different kinds of players. So I think that it was more probably the transition between the quarterbacks doing that. I think five times we had changes. It's really kind of trying to switch your mindset to what that guy does good. So you kind of have to move that back and forth. I think being able to organize everything, I think that just comes with how good you are at organizing yourself. And I think we did a good job. I think there's always more you can do. I think that's something that Coach Marone has always taught me, is you never want to stay the same. You always want to try to get better and better, and you just never want to plateau. And I think that's why this position is going to be critical, and it's just going to help me do more with the coordinating standpoint. It's going to do more to have somebody with EJ even more and just be right there for him, and now I can branch out to the other positions and work more with all the different players.
And I assume that here in Mobile you've had those discussions. You're interviewing candidates for that job here?
Yeah. We've been doing it for about a week now. It's just one of those things. You just want to be sure that you get to meet a lot of people, because you're always going to learn something, even when you're in an interview. I mean, it's fun to be able to interview people because you get new ideas. You get to see new philosophies, how people look at it. Even if it's not the way that I look at things, it's fun to see how other people do it. And you might be able to take something from that, even if you don't hire the guy. So it's just fun to keep expanding your horizons.
What's important to you in your quarterback coach? Is it matter if the guy played the position at the NFL level?
No, I think it's about how the guy communicates. I think that's so important in our business. It's how you communicate the game plan, how you're able to capture the players, how you're able to earn the trust with them and describe things and let them understand that they're going to learn and they're going to get better from that guy. I think that's what we're always trying to look for in the interview process, because there are guys that play that bring some things, and sometimes there's other things that they struggle in, and then you look at it the other way. You look at it, a guy that might not have played that brings something and maybe doesn't bring that true experience, but he's seen a lot of other stuff. So I think it's everybody's got goods and bads, and you have to kind of see what fits your staff the best and makes that cohesion even better.
Nathaniel, at the end of last season, the day after, Coach Marone, Doug Whaley, Russ Brandon all talked about getting better around EJ Manuel to help him. This strikes me as something that would be getting better around him, to have a coach dedicated to him in his position.
Without a doubt, that's our full commitment, is how can we help EJ every step of the way? How can we just continue his growth, let him understand the system better from every aspect, just from players to the system to everything? Because he's a young player that has shown that he has gotten a lot better, and I think it's about how can we just continue that growth and not stay the same and get him better and better every second.
We're with Nathaniel Hackett, Bills offensive coordinator, the John Murphy Show from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. Do you recall, was it last year at the Senior Bowl the first time you actually had a chance to sit and talk with EJ Manuel?
Funny enough, I didn't come to it last year.
Okay.
I didn't. I had just kind of gotten hired, and I think just Coach Marone and Coach Crossman got there. I was in the time of trying to get the staff together, and those were some of the other priorities.
What are your impressions of EJ, and compare them now to your first impressions when you first got together with him?
Well, he's a great guy. I mean, I think his presence, his athletic ability is something that always was exciting for me. I think the best thing about EJ is, as a coach, you always talk about things. You say, hey, you're going to see this. Hey, we're going to do this. And you're always preparing. But the interesting thing is watching him go through that process and now actually being able to communicate and talk with him a little different, because now when you say something, he gets it even more because now he's seen it. I mean, I think a great example was playing the Jets the first time last year. I mean, you talk about a lot of stuff. You talk about the plan. You talk about what you're going to do. And he gets it. He's fired up. But once you're out there in the crowd and the defense is coming at you, it's always going to be a little different. And I think that it was great to see his progression the next time we played him. It was the same type of deal, and then he jumped dramatically in understanding it because he had been able to get a feel for it. And that's when he had a really, really good game versus them, because it was the second time playing them. And I think that's the biggest thing for him, is his confidence in understanding more what I'm saying because he's been through it. So I think that's what's exciting to see.
From the outside looking in, EJ appears to be a young man who is a very good student and a quick learner. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things, is there's so much in the NFL. It's you can't even really explain it, because you can sit there and talk about this and that, but until you're out there and you gain that experience, it's hard to explain to somebody. So I think it's one of those things. He's been very good in the classroom, but I think that the stuff that he's been able to learn from the most is the things that he's gone through on the field. I mean, he sits there and you know, I can't wait to be able to sit with him once he gets back in town and we can talk about the plan. He's going to sit there and go, oh, why did I do that? Oh, I can't believe I do that. But hey, it's that first year roller coaster of, you know, you want to do so much. much. You want to win so bad, but it's about getting comfortable with the system, getting comfortable with the defenses you're going to face.
What about the physical capabilities of EJ for that job? And well, let's talk about the fundamentals. For instance, footwork. How is he on that? What can he do to get better?
I'll tell you, that's something that it was totally new when I presented it to him. And I was so happy to see how much he bought into it and how much he wanted to get better at it. And I think with that, it's just more time and being able to do it over and over. I always heard the line that you had to do something 10,000 times to become an expert at it. Yep. And I think that he's working up to that 10,000 mark. So I think that as he gets more comfortable, and there's some, I mean, you watch the video, and that's what we do from now until then. We watch all the video and try to see what he's good at and what he needs to work harder on. And it's amazing when he does it the right way and he knows what he's doing, he's about as good as there is. When he doesn't know, it's, oh gosh, we need to work on that. But there were some times that, I mean, especially in his footwork, I mean, it took him right to the promised land. I mean, he did some great things, and he just has to continue to do it and continue to not be bored with success and just continue to get better and better.
Is his footwork related to accuracy, or is that maybe something, is there something else about accuracy?
That's my philosophy is your feet do everything for you. It's all about your accuracy and everything. And I think the knowledge of the system and understanding it and how the feet fit into that, it's always going to make you more accurate.
I got the sense from talking to Doug Whaley earlier this week and from Coach Marone earlier this week that more than ever you guys are all in with EJ Manuel, despite what, you know, the fan base might think. You guys are almost doubling down on EJ Manuel this year.
Oh, I mean, no doubt. I mean, EJ's the guy. I'm very excited to see how he's just going to get better. I mean, some people don't realize he's a rookie and he's had 10 games. He's only 10 games old. He was 4-6 when he started, 4-5 when he started to finish the game. I mean, there were some things that he did great, and I think that sometimes we forget that because sometimes the bad things are things that stick out more. But we forget some of the good things, the clutch production, you know, driving down on those two-minute drives, not being phased. I mean, any rookie that goes out there and has to play right away, I mean, it's a roller coaster. And I think that the signs that we saw and his ability with his arm, his athleticism, I mean, it's so exciting. And I think that that's the thing that we have to commit to that, just like he's committed to us. And the longer he's in the system, the more he's going to know it and the easier it'll get.
John Murphy with Nathaniel Hackett, the Bills' offensive coordinator at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. Of course, your offense is not all about EJ. In fact, you were the number 2 rushing attack in the NFL. That's got to be a point of pride for you and the guys on that side of the
ball. It's amazing. I mean, especially when you change quarterbacks 3 times, you have a bunch of young guys. They knew we were going to run the ball. And I think it's a testament to all the coaches that were in that room with me, along with the offensive line and the running backs. I mean, they were going to stop the run. That's what they always would want to set out to do. And we ran it. I mean, we ran it really well. And I think that's something that we can all lean on, and that's something that's great, and it's going to open up play-action pass games down the field, fun, exciting shots and for EJ. And, I mean, that's something that it's hard to run the ball. I mean, it's hard to run the ball, and you have to be able to go to a championship, you got to be able to run the ball. And you can see it with the two teams that are there now. I mean, Denver's running the heck out of the ball, and Seattle's one of the best also. So you have to be able to run the ball in this league, especially – at Buffalo when it gets a little colder. So to be able to establish that is a great foundation for what we're trying to accomplish.
I know you had Fred Jackson in the offense in your first Buffalo stint. Were you surprised at how effective he was this past year? And, I mean, all of a sudden he's a big back. He was always pretty powerful, but all of a sudden he's a big bruising between the tackles runner this past year.
I was not surprised at all.
You probably told him to do that.
Oh, without it. I mean, Fred is Fred. I mean, when he was here, he was spectacular. I mean, I was so lucky to have had experience with him, so I knew it was going to come. I mean, I think it was fun to watch, and he was one of those guys that you knew every time you go hand the ball to him, he was going to get some yards. I mean, he was going to get some positive yards, and I just look for Fred to keep on dominating. I mean, between those two young men back there, I even call Fred young because he's 32 years young, but it was fun to be able to have those two guys back there and do what they did. And I mean, I knew Fred was going to be like that.
You never got to the point where C.J. Spiller was throwing up, but he did. He had ankle injuries. And as I look back at last year, the ankle sort of overshadowed everything he did. It seemed like it was a constant battle for him to get his ankle back healthy.
Yeah, I think that's something that C.J. got to learn a lot about himself this year, and realizing that we did want to give him the ball a whole bunch. And he's got to realize that being a running back and wanting to rush for 1,500, wanting to rush for 2,000, you're going to take some hits, and you're going to have some injuries that are lingering. So I think he got to learn a lot about himself, and I give him a lot of credit, because even when it was hurting bad, he still came in there. I mean, even in Cleveland when it was really bad, and he broke that long one for 60 and was still faster than everybody on the field. So I think CJ did some really good things this year, and I think especially for him, I got to see him here for a bit, and it was great to see him. And I think he's excited because he knows even how much better he can be. So I think that both those guys are so excited to see where we can go with it.
Coach, what do you need to do better offensively next season?
Pass the ball.
Yeah.
I mean that's really what we were lacking. I think passing the ball on third down, those two things we were just way too inconsistent on. And I think a lot of it had to do with the changing of the quarterbacks. I think a lot of it had to do with the youth that we had. And I think the good thing about it is you know, EJ's the guy. We want him to go, and everybody's a year older. So I think right there you're going to see improvement just with that. And I think if we can get those things going, convert some more third downs, because that was something we have to get better at. I think when you get those longer drives and you're attacking people, they're going to wear out and you're going to be even better. All the games that we won, we were doing really well on third down. And I think that's critical to continue that drive. So the more we can throw the ball to match up and marry with that run game, it's going to be a special offense.
When you're at a week like this with all the college talent coming into the NFL, do you come here with an idea of what you may want to add to your offense in terms of personnel?
I think you always have that idea, but I think it's, you know, Doug Whaley does a great job of saying you got to take the best guy that's there whenever you have that chance. And I think that you always go in the mindset what you do want to do to get better on, but I think it's about the team as a whole, and that best guy there, you want to find out who that is. And however you can get him on your team is critical.
I know you've had a chance to watch some of the practices here in Mobile, and you'll get a chance to look at a lot of these guys over the next several months on video and face-to-face at the Combine. Anybody, any position groups maybe here in Mobile that you thought, hey, those guys look pretty good. There's some interesting talent.
I mean, everybody looked good. It's one of those things. You look at these practices are so unique because you bring all these guys from across the country. They've never met each other. They've never worked with each other. And then they get a brand-new system from an NFL team.
In a week.
And I coached this once. I coached it when I was at Tampa. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you're sitting here, you're trying to evaluate a guy that has never thrown to that guy ever. And that guy might have ran it different there. So I think you try to get a lot out of it, but I think that it's all about looking at all the college tape and getting a feel for who they are and what they've done. So I think it's a long process. But it's fun to see them and kind of get that little baseline. But I think a lot of guys have done a really nice job out there, and I'm excited to just keep on looking at them.
How much interaction do you have with the Bills scouting staff in a week like this, or from now moving forward towards the draft?
Pretty good amount. I mean, they're in and out a whole bunch, and I think that when you look at it, they spend years looking at all these guys. So I think it's more about us as coaches wanting to just find out about these people through them, because their job is to scout these guys, and we have to take advantage of that, listen to them, because they know these guys better than we ever could, because they've watched everything, they've talked with everybody. So I think it's about us just getting a good relationship with the scouts and just working with them and really leaning on them, because they've got the best knowledge of these guys right now.
Coach, you know, your first year as offensive coordinator in the books, you've told us what you'd like to do better. What have you learned, and how are you a different coach now than maybe a year ago coming into the league? How would you approach next year different?
Keep the same quarterback in. Keep him healthy. Make sure that he runs out of bounds and we protect him better. And sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
He doesn't have that message yet.
EJ's gonna get mad at me on that one. But you know, I think that you learn so much. I think the biggest thing is learning about the team. I think that's the best thing that I have right now, is whenever you come in, even though through OTAs, even though you go through training camp, you don't know anything about a guy until you go through the fire with them. And I think that being with all these guys, seeing EJ on the sideline, being with Stevie Johnson, being with Robert Woods, Eric Wood, all those guys, you get a good feel for them. So you know what they can do, you know what you want to kind of stay away from, you know how they operate, you know how they work. I think for me, just knowing the team better after a year is so critical. And just how we all work together and how we all stay together and just kept on fighting. And I think that was something that I'm going to be able to look at and talk about and make us all a lot better for that. And I think that was the biggest thing. I mean, just getting to know the team and what we can and can't do and what we need to focus on to get better.
We missed you upstairs in the press box once you made the move down on the field. It was quite a show in the booth next to our radio booth to watch you react. Are you down there for good? And tell me why you like it down there.
I think I am. I think it's one of those things. I'm with EJ so much. Right. I think that the separation from that, I think it was okay. But I think it's just better when we're down there together. And I think it's a comfort zone for him and me. And it's one of those things we get to just interact and work together. And I get to interact and work with the players. So I think that's good. There's some things that it hurts you on because you can't see as much, obviously, being down there, but you get a good feel for the game. And there were a couple times that I did some things and called some plays because I got to feel the vibe of everything. And
is that a good thing?
Oh, it was a great – I mean, if you look at when we were playing the Jets, we called a deep ball to TJ. We hit TJ, and they challenged it, and I was so mad that they challenged it, and I felt the guys, and the guys were fired up, so I called another one, and then we scored the one to Marquise Goodwin, and I think that being up there, I might not have felt that emotion, you know. I was like, hey, forget this, let's do it again, you know. I mean, just everybody was fired up when you got to communicate and talk with the guys, and that obviously helped us in that situation. And two plays, and you get a touchdown, and I think those are some of the good things. I think, especially for the players to see me and see how I react, and that I don't change, and I'm still the same guy.
And they see it all week, and they probably look for it on Sunday.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that gives them all a comfort level. They know I'm not going to skip a beat, and I'm going to keep on wanting to score points and keep on pushing it. And I think that gives everybody a comfort level to be able to get adjustments, talk about adjustments. Everybody look at the pictures. I think it just kind of gets everything tighter down there. And so it was fun. It was also a lot of fun to be down there with those guys and watch them celebrate. Because obviously you saw me in the bus, I was going crazy.
Yeah,
and
you're looking for somebody to celebrate with.
I mean, it's fun to be down there. I mean, it's hard to score in this league. I mean, it's real hard to score touchdowns, and I think that's something, especially for me, it's real gratifying to be down there and be with those guys, and it just makes everybody care about each other more and want to play harder and work harder.
You are relentlessly positive, and I think your dad, when we talked to him last summer at training camp, said the same thing about you. He said you've pretty much always been that way.
I have. I mean, I've had a crazy life just growing up all over the country dealing with all this football stuff. Yeah. And it's such a great game, and there's a lot of hard things about it, there's a lot of great things about it, and I think it's just I feel like I got the greatest job in the world. And it's hard, it's not easy, but it's a challenge every single day, every second, and I love it. I love everything about it, and I'm so happy to be a Buffalo Bill and work with Coach Marone and EJ Manuel. And I mean, that's what's exciting. I mean, just to be able to do what you love and be able to work with guys that you really care about, I mean, it doesn't get much better. I only hope everybody else has that.
Coach, thanks. Love working with you.
My pleasure.
Nathaniel Hackett, the Bills offensive coordinator, joining us from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Live tonight from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. We're set up on Radio Row at the Renaissance Riverview Hotel in downtown Mobile. The folks here have been great, the Senior Bowl folks and the people at the hotel. We're on podcast tomorrow night because of Sabres hockey, but we'll have more good, solid Senior Bowl info for you coming up tomorrow night on the John Murphy Show, available at BuffaloBills.com. Well, as you know, things are happening, at least reports are happening, about the Mike Patton situation as we speak tonight. Adam Schefter tweeting a little bit more than a half hour ago that the Cleveland search is down to two finalists who will meet with the Browns brass tomorrow, according to league sources. And Bills defensive coordinator Mike Patton said to be a favorite. Ian Rappaport says Patton will fly to Cleveland tomorrow for a third interview with the Browns. He is a finalist, according to Ian Rappaport. The Bills, I'm pretty certain, in fact, I know the Bills were hoping to have an answer tonight whether Patton would be with them or not. It appears that they are not going to be able to get that answer tonight if Patton goes for a third interview. Now, maybe that's the third and clinching interview for Mike Patton in Cleveland. We don't know that, but it appears that he's going there, and the Bills will not have their definitive answer tonight. We'll try to get more on that. But anybody else think anybody else sick of the Browns sort of bumbling around in the dark like this? I mean, just they're like you wake up in the middle of the night and you trip over the night table and you knock down the lamp and you stumble your way to the bathroom and you trip over your wife's slippers or something and, oh, okay, we found a coach. I mean, that's essentially what the Cleveland Browns are doing this week and last week and the week before that. They fired their coach before the season, before the lights were even out in the season finale. Their coach was fired. 3 weeks later, they're bumbling around. Bumble all you want. but they've really impacted the Buffalo Bills. I think they've handicapped the Buffalo Bills. Not taking Patton. You can hire Mike Patton, and if he wants the job, which I know he does, he should take the job. But do it. This is ridiculous. If you have thoughts on that, give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550. The number, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Pull the trigger. Hire a coach. This is ridiculous. The reporting has been unbelievable. The twists and turns. It does impact the Bills. It will impact the Buffalo Bills, and it'll be not. I don't know. You heard Patton, or you heard Whaley say it tonight. You heard Doug Marrone say it last night. They have a plan in place, but I'm sure they'd like to start executing the plan for how to replace Mike Patton if, in fact, he's going to get the Cleveland job. Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to see the Browns just sort of bounce their head off the wall like this. 803-0550, the number, 1-888-550-2550 if you have thoughts or comments on that. A lot of good info from Nathaniel Hackett, I thought. If there's one message that comes through loud and clear with the Bills decision-makers we've spoken to here this week, it's that E.J. Manuel is their guy. I'm going to say that again. E.J. Manuel is their guy. Because when you ask the question, as we did tonight on the show, what do the Bills need to get better? A lot of smart alecky comments are, how about a quarterback? Let me tell you something. They're going with E.J., like it or not. Did E.J. play enough last year? Absolutely not. 10 games is not enough. They'd love to get all 16 games from E.J. next year. They'd love to have E.J. stay healthy, get better. There was progress. There were ups and downs. I think when he stayed in the lineup for the period of a couple of games, Manuel showed some encouraging signs. I thought he had a knack for finishing strong in several games, a knack for comeback victories, for strong finishes. He had a negative knack for slow starts in the game, and I think they want to get to work on that. If you heard the interview a moment ago from Nathaniel Hackett and maybe just didn't read a tweet or three words of what Nate Hackett said, you'll realize how deeply they believe in E.J. Manuel as their quarterback moving forward. Not just that, but why they believe that. There was some really good information from Nathaniel Hackett about EJ's strengths, EJ's weaknesses, what he needs to get better on. So accept that. That's where they're going. E.J. Manuel is going to be their guy. But just other good stuff about the running game, how they want to continue to have a good run game. I thought that was significant from Nathaniel Hackett tonight. Just a lot of good info from him. Very energetic. Sounds like he's going to remain down on the field. As a matter of fact, as the offensive coordinator, we do miss him upstairs next to the radio booth because he is so animated. He's crazy. I mean, there was one game, I can't remember which one, might have been the Carolina comeback when I thought that Nathaniel Hackett was going to crowd surf on the other coaches in the coaching booth to our right. That's how excited he gets during the games. Before him, earlier tonight, we haven't had a chance to recap this either. Doug Whaley, the Bills' general manager, in a long conversation we had with him down here at Mobile. I thought among the many significant things Doug Whaley said, and by the way, you can catch all this on our website, on the John Murphy Show. The podcast will be up. The individual interviews will be up. Go to BuffaloBills.com for more information on that. But Doug Whaley said specifically, and this is where people take the, some people have tweeted and stuff about stay the course, but he said specifically, we have some pieces in place, some of the important pieces you look for, we believe we have in place. Four of them, I think, he said in particular. Left tackle, Cordy Glenn. Quarterback, E.J. Manuel. They believe in E.J., even if you don't. They believe in E.J. Manuel. Cornerback, I think, and he didn't specify which one, but I assume he's talking about Stephon Gilmore, who will get better in his third year. And what was the fourth? Left tackle. Jeff, who was the fourth?
Pass rusher.
Pass rusher. Oh, yeah. They had a surplus of pass rushers. So you don't have to accept that, but that's what they think. Is that stay the course? Maybe it is. I mean, they know they got to get better. They know they got to add pieces around those four pieces, but four pretty significant pieces that the Bills believe that they have. You don't have to accept it, but that's what they believe. Take a quick call here from Patrick in Toronto. Hello, Patrick. You're on the air. Go ahead. Okay, we're having trouble punching Patrick up. Are you there, Patrick?
Yep.
Hi, Patrick. You're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I'll tell you something, like what you said, how the Browns stumbling around, which isn't really a surprise to me because of the Browns. But what you're saying about how it's affecting the Bills, it's true. I mean, You go on the message boards, and it's the only thing people are talking about. Every second, it's a new thing, like Penn's staying, someone's saying this, they're offering him tonight, he wants the job. And, like, the Bills, I think the Bills need to do is the Bills need to start looking around at a potential new coordinator, because the earlier the better. And going into the draft and free agency, I think the Bills will need to lock up the position quickly, like either promoting someone from inside the organization or going outside. But the Bills need to start looking into a future without Penn, because the way it looks and the way the Browns are handling this, that's what it looks like it's going to be.
Well, here's the good news, Patrick. They are already looking at it. In fact, that's what Marone told us Monday. That's what Doug Whaley told us in the interview you heard earlier tonight. They have a plan in place. They can't, and that's the frustrating part, they can't activate that plan until they know for sure what the deal is with Mike Patton in Cleveland. Nobody's mad at Mike Patton. I don't think Whaley and Marone, nobody's mad at Mike Patton. But I do think, I know that there's frustration because of the way the Cleveland Browns have let this thing drag on and on and on. I think it's driving them crazy. Thanks very much for your call, Patrick. Yeah, Patrick, we got to move along. Thanks. We had a chance today. Thank you. We had a chance today to kind of recap the first few days of the Senior Bowl by talking with Charles Davis, who is an NFL analyst on the NFL on Fox. He is also on the NFL Network, and he is one of the co-anchors of their coverage here of the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Let's play you that interview we had with Charles Davis about what he has seen here so far at the Senior Bowl.
This is an interesting week, Charles. It's almost as much about who's not here as the players who are here. Give me your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to go through that just about every year about certain guys who won't be here. And what you'd like to hope is that the guys who aren't here are the lock, top 10, top 15 draft picks, don't really need to do anything to solidify their position. I think a number of guys who don't come to this probably have opportunities to improve their draft stock, and they don't take advantage of it. I realize injury is a big part of it. We've had that here this week with Aaron Colvin, the corner from Oklahoma, with a torn ACL. Yeah. And so many people sit home and see, this is why we didn't come. And I can't really argue against that. I get that part of it. But I do know that at this game, we've seen a number of guys improve. I mean, just look back to last year. Was E.J. Manuel a lock first-round guy coming into this game? Probably not.
Right.
Was Christian Ponder the number 12 draft pick coming into this game? Probably not. So I'm just using quarterbacks as an example, but we've seen it all the way around. Was Eric Fisher the number one draft pick in the whole thing coming into this? He was
this
a first-rounder.
Yeah.
But probably in the 20s were his early projections. All of a sudden, he's number one off the board of Kansas because he dominated here this week. So that's the give and take on it all. And I don't ding a guy in terms of not being here. He has his reasons. But I also think for some guys, it is a missed opportunity.
With 100 underclassmen declaring, with 30 or more guys who don't come, as you said, does the Senior Bowl lose some of its relevance, some of its importance in the draft picture?
No, I don't think so at all. I think, in fact, it, in a lot of cases, it becomes more of a thing that people should be involved with. We've got 100 guys coming out. I can't wait to see the numbers of guys who don't get drafted, who go later than projections, who really shouldn't even be in the draft. I think overwhelmingly the number is inaccurate. Kids coming out know where the advice is coming from. Some of them may have some desperation. Some of them may not be able to get back into school because of grades. Some of them feel like it's the only way to support their families. And there's a lot of nobleness to that. But a lot of these kids who are coming out aren't ready to come out. This isn't their time, and their numbers will go down lower than what they should be. So I think for all of us, we should take a good look, because the numbers have increased every year in the last 5 years about kids coming out in the draft early. Let's take a look back and say, okay, what was the projection? Where did they go? And did they make it or not? And then we should hold that up and have that information out there for these kids making their decision.
I had a Bills personnel guy tell me that in this group this year at the Senior Bowl, he thought there were a sprinkling of first-rounders, but mostly guys between second and fifth rounds. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would think that would be a good assessment. We've had so many guys who were supposed to be here. I think we had, 19 guys who couldn't accept because of injury. I think we've had 9 or 10 who just didn't accept, decided not to come and play. And there's a good number of those guys that probably would be first-rounders. You know, guys that we thought, okay, some of them may have been borderline first-rounders, but they play positions that tend to move up. Okay, when I say borderline, if you're a cornerback, the way that we throw the ball around in the league now, you've got a chance to move up in the draft because there becomes a run on them and a couple of them decided not to play and then just move on down the line. So, yeah, I think that assessment would be really accurate.
Any of the wide receivers in particular, the bigger wide receivers, catch your eye through the first few days here?
Well, the size of these kids is something else. Jordan Matthews has been a particular favorite of mine for a long time at Vanderbilt, and I think that he had a pretty darn good day yesterday. I think he's a guy who moves well. I think he's got excellent body control and hands and great toughness to work the inside part of the field. And if you let him, he'll jump up on top of you and run past you. That'll surprise you. But I think the big thing for him is people are going to want to get that clock on him. They want to get the stopwatch and see what he truly runs, because I think he's got everything else. When you've played at Vanderbilt, when you've played with a myriad of quarterbacks, none of them who you're going to sit there and say are going to make it in the NFL, and everyone knows you're the number one threat, yet you're still the all-time leading receiver in SEC history, you've got something we should be watching.
Any other standouts that you've got your eye on this week?
Oh, there's just so darn many. I think Aaron Donald from Pitt at defensive tackle has been tremendous all week long. I think that the quarterbacks have been very intriguing for us all as we try to decide who we like and who we don't like. I think Jimmy Garoppolo getting a chance here at Eastern Illinois is definitely one of the best stories out there, and he's got a chance to spin it with everyone. And guess what? He can definitely throw it with everyone that's out there. The big arms are on the south. On the north. We're talking about, of course, the big kid out of Virginia Tech, Logan Thomas, who just looks like, he's just central casting for the part. But is he truly a quarterback? That's going to be the question mark for him, because accuracy issues in college. But at the same time, when you watch him fling it, you think to yourself, my God, if I just work with that, I think we could have ourselves a quarterback. So plenty of guys out here. I'd be taking up all your time if I went through all of them. But a lot of intriguing stories, a lot of guys that I've seen that I think are really, really great players. And some guys, you're saying, okay, let's see how you do in the game. You might need the game to rescue the week.
Well, the Senior Bowl coverage continues on the NFL Network all week, and the game itself on Saturday, right?
Yeah, it's Saturday afternoon, 4:00 p.m. Eastern. We get the game, and a lot of people talk about all the work is done during the week. The game doesn't matter. That's not necessarily true. Christian Ponder was the best quarterback on the field on game day.
EJ.
During the week, he wasn't. He was a guy who was in part of the pack. Yeah. I really think that game helped him big. EJ Manuel, the exact same thing, was the best quarterback on Saturday. During the week, he had been good, but I'm not sure he had totally distinguished himself or broken away from the pack. It's worked out great for those two guys.
Charles Davis, who does a great job on the NFL Network here at the Senior Bowl. He and Mike Mayock and the crew keeping an eye on the proceedings at Ladd People Stadium. They'll be doing it again tomorrow on TV. We hope you watch our coverage, too, at BuffaloBills.com. And, of course, they'll have the game itself, the Senior Bowl game, 4:00 on Saturday afternoon. Well, there's more to come. A couple of minutes left if you want to get in a call or a comment. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're broadcasting live from the Senior Bowl. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, live radio tonight, and we are back on the podcast tomorrow with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Time for a few phone calls here to the top of the hour, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's go to Carl and Clarence. Hello, Carl. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Okay.
I got Bill's question, but I had a quick personal question. I was wondering if the road ever gets tiring for you. I'm a contractor, and sometimes I can't wait to get out on the road, but then as soon as I get out there, I can't wait to get home.
Yeah, I can't wait to get home. I don't care how cold it is. This week's, we work pretty hard, myself and Jeff Matthews and Mike Adamack. Long days here anyway, and it's fun, and you're watching football, and it's sunshine and 40 degrees, but I'm a little wiped out. Do I sound tired, Carl?
I don't doubt it. I was curious as to how you find, like, restaurants. Do you just eat at the hotel, or do you get a concierge, or what?
Now you sound like the guys on the GR Morning Show. They think we went out sampling restaurants. No, we're not going to go out to eat until 10 o'clock tonight.
All right. Well, have a good dinner, whatever time that is. But the Bills' question is, I was curious after hearing last hour's interview why they didn't get a quarterback coach immediately. I mean, it doesn't count against the cap or anything. I think it almost borders on arrogance to think that they don't need somebody like this.
Well, I don't know arrogance. Here's the explanation. The other day, and there's two different. Well, there's two separate looks at it. Coach Marone, when he talked on Monday about getting a quarterback coach, said that. They expected that if Kevin Cobb had stayed healthy, that he would play the role of sort of a veteran mentoring presence in that quarterback room and on the field as a veteran backup quarterback for E.J. Manuel. Of course, not only did Kevin Cobb get hurt, he got hurt in preseason and was done the rest of the year because of the nature of his concussion. If you heard the interview with Nathaniel Hackett a moment ago, his take on it was, yeah, Cobb got hurt, but he said we went through 9 quarterbacks last year. I don't know if that math is exactly accurate, but there were a lot of quarterbacks in and out because of the injury to Cobb, because of the injuries to E.J. Manuel. They had Flynn in and out, Thad Lewis in and out. Matt Leinart was in and out, complex, Jeff Toole. So it just kind of got away from him because of the injuries. And make no mistake, and not by way of excuse, but make no mistake, they were hit hard by injuries at the quarterback spot last year. I think any Bills fan will tell you that. And I think that's why they feel like they need, they can't devote as much time to having a guy mentor just the quarterback. So run the quarterback meetings when there's that many new people being in and out of the lineup. And, you kind of learn as you go along. I don't know if it was arrogance, but thanks, Carl. Thanks for your concern. We are very hungry, but we've got a few minutes left here on the show, and then hopefully we can pack things up and get out of here. Tomorrow night, it's podcast night because there is a hockey on the air tomorrow night, so we'll be here at BuffaloBills.com with the John Murphy Show podcast. We expect to be talking with Derek Carr, quarterback, Fresno State, who's had an outstanding week here at the Senior Bowl, throwing the ball well, handles himself well, by far, and I mean far and away, the best quarterback here in Mobile, Alabama this week. Derek Carr, Fresno State. Yeah, David Carr's younger brother. We're expecting to get him on the radio show tomorrow night. And one of the interesting stories here at the Senior Bowl is another quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo from Eastern Illinois, who, talk about a whirlwind couple of weeks. The guy was at the East-West Shrine game a week ago, played so well, there was a vacancy here, he got the invite to come here, and he just keeps throwing away. He looks like he fits in a little bit. I'm not going to tell you he's, starting elite-level caliber quarterback, but he moves around well, the ball gets out of his hand in a hurry, most of his passes seem pretty accurate, and it's kind of an interesting story, a guy that I don't know was on anybody's draft screen 3 weeks ago. Jimmy Garoppolo of Eastern Illinois, a quarterback from Eastern Illinois. Those two going to be with us. One of the best offensive linemen here at the Senior Bowl, Zach Martin. We've got an interview with him coming up tomorrow night on the podcast. So a lot more to come. Hope you can tune in tomorrow and as we wrap up our week-long coverage from the Senior Bowl. That's a podcast tomorrow at BuffaloBills.com. We want to thank our producer tonight, the Bills Director of Broadcasting, Jeff Matthews, with assistance from Mike Adamek. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and operated for more than 80 years. Make sure you tune into the podcast tomorrow night from Mobile, Alabama, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.